1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Yesterday's programme finished with people talking about antisocial behaviour, especially in Dublin. Tom Cody, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. What happened?
Well, it was Friday week last. I was just waiting on the Lewis in Abbey Street, near Lower Abbey Street. And there was a good queue, about 20 to 30 people anyway. But there were a crowd of young kids. I'd say, Joe, they were only age 11 or 12, you know.
Okay.
And one guy was, seemed to be like the leader, if you like. He was about maybe 14 or 15. But they were actually surrounding the people. And I thought, and most people suspect, they were just looking for easy prey, Joe. They were going to make a snatch, you know. And I think they were waiting for the Lewis to come along, maybe, and then make their snatch, you know what I mean? But they were intimidating. And one man stood up to them and ordered them away, and they hurled abuse at him, and then they were trying to get in behind him to attack him, but another few men came and joined them and kind of warned them off. They didn't go, Joe, they just kept there shouting abuse.
And were they, when you say they attacked him, Tom, were they trying to steal something from the man, or?
No, because the man, I think, had interrupted their game, for the want of a better word, they just turned their venom on him. That's just my impression on it, you know. And he wasn't afraid of him, like, he just said, come on. But they were all in front of him, but then they tried to circle him. You know, they're coming right around the people and coming up back on the footpath to try and circle him. But the other men spotted that and went back to back with him. Now, nothing, as regards violence, nothing happened, but it was pretty scary, you know, for everybody there. And they seemed to feel that they could do it without any fear of, you know, being recognised or, you know, being brought to justice or anything.
So you're saying there's a dozen 12-year-olds, and one of the descriptions yesterday, again, was of a middle-aged man being terrorised by a group of 12-year-olds, one of whom goes round in a mask up in Rialto, terrifying people. Stay there for a sec, Tom. Reenie McHugh, okay. Reenie, good afternoon. 51551.
Hey,
you're living in Cavan. What happened in Dublin?
I live in Cavan, but I'm a Dubliner.
Yeah.
And I'll always be, even though I'm 46 years out of it. But I really look forward to my trips up to Dublin. But they're getting a bit not so much to look forward to anymore because of the scenes in O'Connor Street, Earl Street it was in particular, when I was up last Wednesday.
Okay, up to the
and
GPO
I'm
there,
not
yeah.
too sure. I think it's James Joyce statue there.
It is, yeah, North Earl Street.
Yeah, North Earl Street. And it was, there's a plinth, and it was totally surrounded, sitting down and standing up, with people obviously with drug or drunk drink problems, with their cans and their cigarettes in their hands, all surrounding the statue. And I mean, I didn't even get up, because I don't think that was there the last time. Is it only there recent? Was it somebody else?
Oh, no, James Joyce is there for a while, yeah.
Is he? Yeah. But I might have been interested in going to have a look at the statue, but I wouldn't have approached it now, not with this crowd. And that's as plain as daylight. And I laughed at the man yesterday saying about the Bangardi, or the Gardaí. He didn't say Bangardi. He said the Gardaí to be outside the GPO picking their nails. And I said, oh, he must be talking about a woman. And there was one Bangardi outside the GPO that day. And she was very relaxed looking and very, nothing going on, like, you know.
But are those people you describe, are they breaking the law?
Well, they're loitering as far as I'm concerned.
But don't you have to be loitering with intent?
To do what?
Exactly. Well, you have to, the police have to have some suspicion that a crime might be committed.
A crime, okay.
Well, then, don't worry, Reena. I'm not trying to...
If you're unhappy, you're unhappy.
But have you seen changes in the city centre?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm one of the ones that used to meet under the clock, and we'd all go over to the Metropole, and you could walk anywhere you liked or do anything you liked in O'Connell Street. And I just love it. My feet touch the ground and I just come to life as soon as I come into it, O'Connell Street. But there's a fear now. was a kind of a fear.
You have a codicil there at the end of your call. You think the people helping homeless shouldn't be there during the day?
Well, I thought that there was shelters for them to go to in the day with activities and places for them to go. I mean, I didn't mean that those people shouldn't be there. Colin, I think it was, asked me, your researcher, if I objected to the people going to feed them, and I didn't see any of that. But I would have thought that was mostly in the night time. I don't know.
Okay, because I'm presuming the reason you're asked is because the next caller raised that point. John O'Keefe. John, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. My point was that I'm all for people doing charity work and feeding the homeless, but I don't understand why it has to be done on our two main streets of the city, on Craftsman Street and on O'Connell Street. Because every tourist that comes to visit Dublin goes to those two streets.
And where is it done in O'Connell Street? Under the canopy of the GPO?
At the GPO, yeah.
That's completely taken over. Well, it's sheltered. It's central. It's a wide footpath. The streets...
Yeah. But, Joe, I don't understand why it can't be on a different street. You know, there's no need to have it on our main streets of the city. Every city has problems. You know, you go to any other city, you don't see it on the two main streets of the city.
Okay, and you're saying up around College Green is the second location.
Well, up along College Green, and then also there last week when I was walking up Grafton Street, it was at the top of Grafton Street.
That's right, there's a regular...
You know, so, is there any need for us to have it on the main streets of Dublin to show our worst side? We're trying to get tourism into the country, and, you know, we need it. And then, you know, the likes of that. And like that previous caller said, people are getting frightened by walking by these people.
Well, why should they be frightened? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why, but it's just, it's slightly intimidating. The crowd that's there, you know.
In what way are they intimidating, John?
I don't know. It's just the actual the group of them. Mm. You know. My main point would be that I don't understand why it's on the main street. Really, it should be
okay. The main street. Okay. Now, have you been abroad? Like, what? But people say, sure, there's homeless. Unfortunately, London, Madrid, Barcelona, Paris, Rome, Berlin. China.
If anyone comes to Dublin, they would walk along Grafton Street or O'Connell Street, and over O'Connell Street Bridge. You know, it's the two main streets of Dublin.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have that in any other city, and there's no need for it. I don't know whether it just wasn't planned or wasn't organised. But like, if I wanted to get social services, or if I wanted to get social welfare or something like that, I'll quite happily find it whatever side street it's on.
And as you probably know,
I get car tax. It's not on the main street. Okay. It doesn't have to be on the main street just to for the homeless people to find it.
Mm.
And there's a lot of charity charity work done that's never publicised, and they always find those. Okay. I just think it intimidates and frightens tourists. And we just don't need to show our worst side off, you know?
Okay, Rini.
That's the point, Joe, about charities. I mean, I give to homeless charities and I contribute, and I don't deny that there is the problem. But it's very sad to see it, as that man says, in our main thoroughfare. And, I mean, that group, whatever they were doing, it was intimidating. You felt that we wanted to go to Guineas, you know, Guineas, but we turned back.
Mm.
We turned back.
But it's not one of the reasons why at the base of the spire, there's absolutely not a single place to sit. In fact, it's anti-sitting the way it's shaped.
Yes.
You can't even lean against it properly. But apparently that's one of the reasons it's to stop people congregating around the spire. Tom Cody, I see did you live part of the year in China, Tom?
Well, I go over for 5 weeks or so every year, but I used to live there. I lived there for seven and a half years.
Well, do you want to compare and contrast Dublin and Beijing? Or like, would you see homeless people on the streets of Beijing?
You would, but I lived in Taiyuan. I wasn't complaining about anything to do with homeless people or, you know, it was really the intimidation. But
take that ball then. Would you see intimidation? Okay. Like, would you see gangs of youths, you say a dozen age 12, would you see a dozen 12-year-olds running around the centre of Beijing?
No, Joe, you wouldn't. You'd see them out in the town squares on skates and dancing and activities that would be impossible in this country for many, many reasons. But I regularly went into English Corner in the centre of the city in Taiyuan and Shanxi province. It's an English Corner. I was teaching English over there, Joe. And I'd go down and meet a couple of hundred school kids talking English, practicing their English. And then the adults would come along about 9 o'clock, and I might be leaving there about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I walk back because it's still warm over there in the summer. I used to walk back, and about 7 kilometres, and absolutely nothing, no intimidation, no drunkenness, peaceful. I always, actually gone over there, Joe, the first of the start, I felt there was something terrible different about it, and really it was that I was much more relaxed and I wasn't afraid, whereas I didn't, and I left in 2003, Joe, you know, and But I still felt that Dublin was turning very, very aggressive at that time.
Yeah, well, there's a slew of calls. Let me bring in Patricia O'Mahony and me, 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Patricia's been listening to the, well, that particular 2 points that Reaney and John O'Keefe made about why are homeless people looked after on the main street. Go ahead, Patricia.
Well, you know, isn't it lovely that they are being looked after? You know, this is reality. So what, you know, the visitors, this is reality. It's happening. People are, you know, and isn't it lovely that they're being fed? I mean, wouldn't it answer her better or him better to if he was walking by to buy a sandwich and hand it to the guy? Or, you know, it's reality. It's what's happening.
John O'Keefe, do you want to respond? It's reality. Why shouldn't...
Joe, there's absolutely no problem about feeding the homeless or feeding anybody or doing any charity work. The only point I was trying to make is we need tourism in Ireland, and why have this thing happening on our main streets? We're trying to make the city beautiful for tourism to come here. And that's just spoiling.
And do you think that's going to put people off reality?
Yes, I do, yeah.
You know?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think, you know, you're way kind of off the line there, because if you have any little bit of sympathy or anything, you and I probably will never, ever know what it's like to be on the streets hungry, thank God.
Well, I don't know about that now, but I'm just saying that, you
well,
know...
Well, I do I have, know.
I have lived
you,
well, I don't. You, I've certainly been close to it myself, and I don't, you know... It's not any
and
reason for that. The only reason
and who
I'm
looked
saying
after you then when you were as close as that to it?
Well, family did, really. But I'm just, my point is that
well,
on a main street, off the main street of the city of Dublin, there's no need to advertise our bad things. You don't, you know,
we're not
you don't need to put
our bad
worst
things.
Word forward.
It's reality.
Yeah, so what's wrong with
an
the side street?
Word
what would be wrong with the side street?
What would be wrong with what, sorry?
Some sort of side street or back street. What's wrong with where the tax office used to
be? Why should those people be on a back street or a back street? We're all of a one in this world. And if we can't help our brothers now and again, it's not very nice. You cannot just because the Queen or King or somebody is coming shoved. You cannot put something under the carpet just because somebody is coming.
I'm not suggesting you should do that. I'm suggesting.
But you are suggesting, you have said it, that these people shouldn't be on the streets. Throw them into the side streets until somebody,
that
you know.
That is not what I said
so
at all.
So in the winter, is it okay?
That's not
to have
what I
back?
Said at all. So
you
if you're taking it up
that.
The wrong way, that's up to you.
No,
all
I didn't.
All I'm saying
you
is you don't need to have it on our main
can
beautiful
I come in
streets
there
of Dublin.
Rainy, yes.
Yeah. I think using that word reality is unfortunate, because why should it be a reality? Shouldn't something be done about it long ago? We can afford it. We're supposed to be a well-off
country. Yeah, well,
we are where we are. If you're putting them down the side street, then what good is that? You
but
know,
they're still being looked after and being fed. And why, you know, I mean, the amount of tourists in O'Connell Street was just wonderful to see. It was so diverse. It was unbelievable.
Well, I saw last week a visitor. She obviously was an American. I was listening to the accent.
Uh-huh.
And she actually went and got two cakes out of a thing and brought it
good
back to somebody that was begging. And I thought, now there's a person who understands what reality is like.
But John O'Keefe and indeed Reaney, like the GPO is obviously owned by, well, they rent it, I think, for €1 a year or whatever. I know,
yeah.
I know it's a lien.
I didn't notice that, Joe, actually.
No, but I'm saying, John, like the GPO obviously have no objection because it goes on under their canopy.
No,
is
I
it
understand
in the
that.
Daytime?
It's not, well, the reason I'm saying it, Joe, is not for that. It's not the lien that have an objection. It's just that for tourism, we need tourism in Dublin. And anyone that comes to Dublin would walk those two streets. You know,
yeah.
And they are two lovely streets. And O'Connell Street certainly is getting better.
Well,
previous lady said, it's lovely to see the diversity of Dublin and the amount of different people in Dublin.
Okay, John.
I walked in Milan.
Understand why it's called...
I walked in Milan last year, a very exclusive street, Milan in Italy, and there were people begging, and I gave them whatever.
Oh, I'm not talking about
put
begging.
Me
you go
off.
Into any street in Dublin and you find people
you know,
begging. I'm just
it
talking
didn't
about
put
giving
me
off.
Charity.
Okay, let me bring John Larkin in. John, your quick point, please.
Hi, Joe.
Good.
Yeah, Joe, yeah, I was in O'Connell Street there about three weeks ago, and 12 of these young lads were on bikes. They cycled from O'Connell Street into Henry Street.
Right.
And they cycled down this, you know, a pedestrian street, 12 of them on bikes. They cycled past, there was a Garda car coming up. The Garda was full, it was full of guards. They may have had someone in the car with them, I don't know. There may have been a criminal or something, I don't know. But nothing was said to the young fellas.
Well, many in this gang that you say were causing
about
havoc?
10 to 12, Joe.
Okay, and what age group?
Around 13, 14.
Well, are they the same crowd that everyone is talking about? There's 12 of them marauding around Dublin city centre.
They could be. They could be. I'm not sure. The following week, I was in. This was last week when I was in there. Again, more young fellas. This was later in the evening, around 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
More young fellas on bikes coming down, and they were throwing rubbish bags at people. And people were actually mainly foreign people. They were throwing them at, and women. And I was talking to a woman there in the street who. She lives in Royalto, a foreign lady, and her husband had been attacked up there.
Okay. And John,
where she lives.
Okay, John, what do you think of John O'Keefe and Reaney? Now, I'm paraphrasing them, but they say to have the homeless services on the main street, the two main streets in Dublin, rather than nearby in Henry Street or Prince's Lane or whatever, is counterproductive.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I think the main issue for me is that there is a complete absence of any police or Gardaí on the beat. That's a thing of the past.
Definitely.
You know, the only time you'll see a lot of police around is if there's some sort of a protest and water meters or something like that. There's no political will to have police on the beat anymore, it seems. But you know
they're firefighting gangland.
I'm in town every day. I hardly ever see police on the beat.
Okay, let me bring in Nicola Coffey. Nicola, your point, please.
Hi,
you're listening to John and Reaney. Yes,
I am listening to John and Reaney, and I'm one of the people feeding the homeless.
Okay.
In the main city centre.
Under the GPO or Bank of Ireland, where do you be?
I'm at Bank of Ireland, and then we do the outreach, and we go and we get all the people on the side streets too, because they're not only on the main street. They're all lining around the side streets as well. So once we're finished feeding, we do a whole outreach for about another 2 hours on top of the 400 people we may feed outside the Bank of Ireland, all around the north side of the city. And I mean, really, I think I prefer to be in the company of a lot of the homeless people that I meet, rather than Reaney and John O'Keefe.
Oh my God.
Absolute disgraceful comment.
Oh my God, that's an awful thing.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Why is it an awful thing to say that I prefer to be with homeless people than you?
I never said anything against
homeless
people.
I said there was
an atmosphere in a group that were intimidating and preventing people from using the thoroughfare. That's what I said.
Speaking,
I didn't actually say anything about the dining. I was asked the question and I said, well, I actually didn't think it was in the daytime it was done. I didn't know, and I thought it was just during the night. I didn't notice anything. The only thing I noticed at the GPO was young men dressed in the old army uniforms handing out leaflets, and there was some sort of an exhibition
or something on.
There was loads of people interested in that.
I did not say I am very sympathetic towards people who are homeless.
I'm delighted to hear it.
I said that already.
The way it came across is absolutely shocking.
No, I said that already.
Reaney, you've had your 5 minutes now, thank you. And especially John O'Keefe saying that they should all be pushed back onto the side street. Seriously, John, what side of the moral compass do you want?
Well, hang on, Nicola, what is it?
Very few of the homeless people that I deal with intimidate me or upset me. There may be one in every hundred.
Okay, Nicola, why are the services then under the canopy to GPO?
We have to keep food dry.
Okay, so it's the canopy.
We have to. It's the canopy at the Bank of Ireland as well. How are we to do hot food and soup
and
for people?
The teeming rain.
In the teaming rain. And were you out? Some kind of cover.
Okay, Nicola, were you out on Sunday night when the stair rods rained? Incredible.
I can send you a photo, Joe.
Okay, please.
And I did the outreach to the youngest child I fed on Sunday night in the pouring rain was 5 years of age, and the oldest was 83. And the 83-year-old actually said to me, "Would you believe I don't even drink?" It's like they have to clarify. Honestly, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just homeless through circumstance. John might want to take a look at the government rather than the people feeding the homeless.
And John,
you're very welcome to come out with us, John.
John, apart from the practicality which Nicola has outlined there about the canopy, is there not also a almost a historical, emotional connection with the GPO, birth of our nation, proclamation, cherish all the children of the country equally?
As said in the Irish Constitution.
Let John answer you.
So my only point, which was for tourism, really, it's not about any of the charity work. It's not about any of the charity workers or anything like that. It's literally just for tourism. And why have this thing going on our two main streets of Dublin, which is crazy? I mean, Shane Ross, the Minister for Tourism, should be on saying, why is this happening?
Well, you heard why it's happening, because there's two massive canopies and they're probably...
Joe, you know yourself, if you put out a word today, within 2 seconds, some company would sponsor a thing. And I'm sure, you're going to tell me there's no other canopies in the whole of Dublin that can be used.
Okay. But Peter Martin Dooley, Peter, your point, please.
The basic question is,
should they be moved off O'Connor Street?
We have a homeless crisis where we have in the context of what we currently have in terms of vacant houses around the city, and that gentleman there just made a point about the tourism. There's massive amounts of properties that people are being evicted out of the private renting market, and because landlords are moving into Airbnbs and making massive profits out of this as well. So the reality is, like, people are suffering, people are struggling. And that's what we have to face up to, this reality.
Yeah, I know, but what about the debate which is raised by John and indeed Reaney, and that is why does the two main centres for provision for homeless people on a daily and nightly basis have to be in the centre of O'Connell Street, which is the main street in the nation indeed, or else Westmoreland Street there opposite Trinity? That's their question. Why does it have to be there?
Quite simple. They're central locations and people know where to find them. A lot of people know where it's at, main central locations. Okay. And there's no reason why we have to face up to the reality of people, the reason why people are homeless in the first instance, why people have to access these services. There's great volunteers and people out who give all their time over to help people, to try and, they feed them, they clothe them. They do a lot of great voluntary work. I know a lot of people who do a lot of super runs around the city and they do fantastic work. But it's down to a failure. This gentleman's point, and I'd like to take issue with it, he's talking about pushing onto a side street. For years in Ireland, we pushed everything onto side street, around corners, keep it hidden. It's stuff that we have to face up to the harsh realities of what's really the reality of what's happening in the modern day Ireland in the context of the homeless crisis. It can't be pushed away any further. Like, I live in an area near enough to Rat Mines, and there's homeless people everywhere. There's homeless people sleeping in internet cafes at night. They're sleeping in their cars. And this is the reality of modern day Ireland. And we can't, for the sake of tourists coming in to keep them happy, so they're spending more money in the city. I think the reality is we've vacant houses, and we've, as I said, properties going into Airbnbs, and people getting evicted out of the private rented market. 70% of people are getting evicted out of the private rented sector and going into homelessness. And this is government policy.
Well, I take your 9/10 of that, but it's not government policy to encourage private landlords to evict people, is it?
It is government, but government policy. I'm involved with Dublin Rent Regime.
Where is the stated government policy that you've ever heard from Leo Varadkar, Pascal Donoghue, or indeed Owen Murphy, saying it is our policy to encourage private landlords to evict people and move to Airbnb? Should they clamp down on Airbnb?
No. I'll give you a prime example. 70% of people, I'm involved with Dublin Renters Union, a voluntary based group that actually support people in private rental accommodation. 70% of people are being forced into homelessness out of private rental accommodation because there's no security of tenure. Renters in Ireland for years have been treated like second class citizens, and it's the government's policy because they haven't built public housing. They've pushed people into the insecure private rental market and then forcing people into homelessness because of sky high rents and insecure accommodation.
You're saying it's the effects of government policy. Ciarán, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Good afternoon. What John O'Keefe says is disgusting. Most tourists haven't got a problem with people being fed. They think it's great Irish hospitality. Homeless people like myself being fed on O'Connell Street and Grafton Street. I talk to tourists. Tourists think that it's amazing that Irish people actually go out and feed other Irish people who are in the situation I'm in.
And how often would you use the services there under the GPO?
Quite regularly.
And what is there, Ciarán? You get food, you get...
There's an Asian community come out on a Tuesday and feed us. Right. There's a Dublin gang that come out as well every day. And they feed us, they give it, and they have club bring clothing also.
Okay.
You know, it's under a canopy, it's sheltered.
Yeah.
Why should humans like myself be hidden out of here? I think that's a disgusting thing to say.
And Ciarán, can't you also get your hair cut and your teeth? Not all the time, but...
On a Saturday, an Arabic man comes out with his barbershop and most of the staff from, I think they're from the north side of Dublin Finglas, and they come and cut our hair for us.
Right.
You know, that's Irish hospitality. Yeah, that's what that is called.
Well said.
And John, Ciarán, can I ask you, do you want me to ask you questions about how long have you been homeless and how
I'm a few years homeless, it's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But this is part to do with Mr. Murphy, making false promises.
And have you ever been offered accommodation, Ciarán?
No, I haven't. You know, I've been up and down, I've been in private rented accommodation, but my situation doesn't afford me to have a private rented house.
Yeah.
You know?
What about any other form of accommodation? Would that be open to you?
Well, why should I be squeezed into a hostel where I'm woke up every 15 minutes to make sure that I'm alive? If I went to a private hostel, I wouldn't be woke up. But because you're homeless, you're treated like it's worse than a criminal. Okay. If I was in Mountjoy prison, I wouldn't be woke up every hour by the prison officers. Mm.
And where do you bed down for the night now, Ciarán, or do you move around?
I move around. I sleep out mostly in Dublin City, but I move around.
Yeah. And how's your health and that? How are you managing?
I've had a bad chest, but other than that, I'm all right. but that's due to the weather in Ireland, you know?
Yeah, I know. Look, were you out on Sunday night?
I was, I got a bit wet on Sunday.
And where did you sleep on Sunday night? Where did you shelter on Sunday during the day?
Nassau Street.
And where could you want to tell me where you slept?
Under where they're building a new...
By
the bottom of Grafton Street.
It's going to be called Grafton Court, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Even though it's not even in Grafton Street. But anyway, you know how important. And it's 200 million they're investing into it.
There you go.
And they paid 110 and 20 million to leave.
And I'm just out here in Greystones at the moment looking at a load of houses being built in the marina, and I bet you not one of them will go to social housing to be bought out because they've put this clause in the housing.
And Ciarán, becoming homeless, was that a shock, or could you, in other words, was it one blow after another, which and the domino effect, and then you unexpectedly found yourself without shelter?
Yeah, it was more of a shock, I suppose, than anything. And I never pictured myself in this situation.
Yeah.
But
and have you found?
I found it tough at first, but sure, you just get on with it. Then you know you have to keep a smile on your face and keep going.
Okay. And have your family, Ciarán? Can I ask either?
Not sure. We leave that alone.
You what?
We leave that alone.
Leave that alone, okay. And do you avail of any other services?
I do, yeah. There's quite good charities, but sure, none of this sector should be run by charities. Mm. It's like years ago, everything was run by, orphans were run by charity. There was problems with that. But that's the same now with all the homeless services. There's a lot of problems with the homeless services because they're being run by charities. It's becoming a business because it's not the same personal input like there was when Peter McFerry was on top of things.
And Joe, can I ask, would he not avail of that service if it was on a different street?
Well, why should it be put on a different street? street.
No, but I'm just asking, would you not avail of it if it was on a different street?
Well, it's easier. There's a lot of foreign people that use the service and they don't know other streets. So it's a lot easier for them. A lot easier for them to find those streets.
Well, would the word not get out that you go down, you know, to, I don't know, Smithfield?
I don't think it should, but that's not the point. It shouldn't have to be put on another street. And it's,
no, it doesn't have to be. Wasn't my point. My point wasn't it has to be. My point
Well, you want to try and hide the truth of the situation. The truth of the situation.
It's not hide it. It's not hide it. It is just,
no, it is hiding it. That's exactly what you're saying.
You're just saying, well, I'm trying to make Dublin beautiful for all our tourists.
Yeah, make Dublin beautiful. It's beautiful that people are being fed on O'Connell Street and on Grafton Street by people who care, not people who want to hide anything.
We're not trying to hide anything.
You are, yes, you are. Tourists know what's going on. They're not afraid. People are normal everywhere. We're not, like, humans are the same in all countries. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you've no religion. Mm-hmm. We all have the same issues. We all want to get on in life.
Joe, can you come in for a second?
Yeah, who's that? Peter Mark.
Peter, yeah, sorry. Just, there is a policy, you have funny appetites with that poor man's situation, but, it's just absolutely disgusting when you hear remarks to say, you want to make Dublin beautiful. Dublin beautiful will be a place that's actually able to home its the people that are living here.
Exactly.
And that would make a beautiful city. That's a city I'd be proud of. A city I wouldn't be proud of is pushing it onto a side street and not dealing with facing up to the reality of our situation.
Would be my 90-year-old granny wouldn't have to sit in a wheelchair in the hospital for, 48 hours. We're just trying to help and put things together to make Ireland work. And having the homeless crisis on our two main streets is just crazy. And that's the way this country is run.
No, it's not crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Maybe the government will see something
has to be done about it. Joe, can I come in there? There's a practical measure there that's in place actually with the Dáil. There's an anti-eviction bill that went into the Dáil back in December, and that would stop substantial refurbishments and sale of property as reasons to evict people. Landlords are losing these loopholes to evict people, and the reality is that people are ended up in a homeless situation because they're being forced out because of greedy landlords profiting off the crisis. So they have to face up to these situations, and we have to provide homes for people in the city. There's plenty of vacant properties that could be open for people's homes.
Landlords are invariably, the ones you're referring to, they're private individuals. They've no obligation to rent out property.
Well, I'm talking about a lot of bigger landlords, vulture funds as well. This is the misnomer.
That's different now.
Tell the people as well, Joe. The situation is the government don't build public housing.
No, we know that. Not the government. The governments for years and years and years, especially since the crash. John, good afternoon. You say you're a retailer in O'Connell Street, John.
Yeah, hi, Joe. How are you?
Go with this debate about the services being located under the GPO. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I have a business on O'Connell Street.
Uh-huh.
And what I would like to just talk about is the side effects for businesses in the area with these food stations. They tend to attract, yes, people who are homeless and need feeding. And that's great.
Uh-huh.
But they also do attract a lot of other, shall we say, undesirable people who participate in what they call antisocial behaviour. And what happens is they all end up congregating on O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
And we as a business suffer the side effects of that.
Which is?
Well, we have incidents of people coming into our shop attempting to shoplift. And when they are maybe challenged, it can become very violent, verbally and physically. I myself have been assaulted on a number of occasions.
Mm.
My staff have been racially abused, and all the side effects that go with it. And unfortunately, with these food banks, people feeding people on O'Connell Street or up in Grafton Street, it's a congregation point, and there is a distinct lack of guards on the beat. And we as retailers, and I as a retailer, have had to deal with the side effects.
And have you raised this issue with the Gardaí, or indeed with the GPO? The GPO must be happy with it, aren't he?
Well, I can't speak for the GPO.
Yeah,
yes, I have made representations to Store Street about the lack of guards on the street. I'm waiting for feedback from the guards on that. I don't mind saying, last week alone, I think four times I walked the full length of O'Connell Street and did not see one guard.
And did you do, was that a survey by you or just a preamble?
Just a preamble down the street.
Preamble.
See what I saw.
Yeah. Anita Crow, Anita, your point please. 51551, I'll take a break. Anita.
Hi, Joe. I'm just ringing because last week I was in O'Connell Street and I hadn't been there in quite a while.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I found it really upsetting. I was walking along and I saw a young guy in his 20s lying on the street with no shoes on his feet.
Oh, God. Terrible.
I know the optics of that guy talking about his business, and also there's a separate issue of how these issues have been managed by the Gardaí and so forth.
Mm.
But for God's sake, a man in the street, no shoes on his feet. And also in the town I live in, I'm seeing like people I went to primary school with living in tents off the main street. So do you know what? I think, never mind tourism and all those kind of things, the basic fact of people surviving and being fed and being able to function in their own country, that's the key core issue here. There are other issues about how people are managed and everything else. That's not their problem.
And Anita, do you know what became of the shoeless man?
No, like I did end up speaking to him and I came back to him the next day because I felt, you know, as someone who's a bystander standing, walking past and seeing that there are things we can do. We can have a little bit of empathy. We can be polite. We don't have to stick our heads into the sand and ignore these things because I don't do that. I try to live my life with a bit of integrity.
Yeah.
But I feel that.
So you came back and helped the man the next day?
Yeah, I came back the next day because I just felt, you know, I'm a teacher as well. It could be one of my students.
And Anita, do you want to tell me the name of the town where people are sleeping in tents off the main street?
It's in Newbridge in County Kildare. At the back of the town hall, there was guys living in tents.
Good God.
Now, they've been moved on.
I know there's tents all
like
along
that.
The canal in Dublin. But
in Newbridge.
Okay.
I would go there and park there with my two children. We'd go shopping in Penny's and whatever, and we'd see the people living in the tents in 2019.
And by the way, you said you had a chat with the shoeless man. Did he?
Yeah.
What are his chances of getting into accommodation? And
I didn't get into that, Joe, because it was his own. He didn't want to talk about that.
Okay.
I just spoke to him
that.
And asked his name
that.
And
yeah.
Is there anything I could get for him?
Okay.
And just that brief moment in time.
Okay, fair play to you. Kieran, I don't know if you credit there. Can you hang on through the break, Kieran?
I was just going to say, I've been attacked on O'Connell Street, Joe, as well. And it wasn't by homeless people who attacked me.
Yeah,
it was a settlement group, you know?
Can't tire them.
I sleep in a sleeping bag and I got kicked in the head on O'Connell Street. That wasn't homeless people who did that.
And you know, of course, do you know by who, Kieran?
No, teenagers. And it took the guards over 40 minutes to get there.
And how were you after getting a kick in the head? My God.
I was a bit of stress and shock, but other than that, you know.
Yeah. Okay, 51551, stay with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie, we're discussing a point raised by two callers in different ways, and they believe that the homeless services in the capital at night time, and indeed a lot of the day, should not be located at the GPO and at the Bank of Ireland building. It's no longer, well, part of it is a bank, but it's mainly an exhibition centre now, at Westmoreland Street. Paula Davison. Paula, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Your point, please.
Well, in case that guy, the first guy who says they should be on the main street, in case John thinks that there's nobody out there that agrees with him, I fully agree with him. I am born and raised in Dublin, from Crumlin, actually, and lived the first half of my life there. And I do not go up to my city anymore. The last time I was up there was Christmas 2.5 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and my niece, we decided we'd go up and we'd go into the new Bewley's, which was only opened at the time, and we'd see what it was like, have a cup of coffee and then do a bit of shopping. We got up there at 11 and we were going to stay till 4. So we came out of Bewley's at about 12 and we could not walk 10 steps down towards Exchequer Street, etc., without being accosted, and that's the only word I could call it, by vagrants, ne'er-do-wells, people on drugs, I don't know who they were. I won't class homeless people in there, any of that. But anyway, people that you don't want coming up to you, asking you. One guy asked me for a euro for a hostel. Now, I haven't been up to Dublin since. because it was 2 months before that I was up there in the summertime, and when I went to get back into my car in the Setanta, there was a couple shooting up between my car and somebody else's. So I said, now, I am absolutely no chance I am going up to Dublin again. I just couldn't be doing with it.
But you're from Dublin, obviously. Do you mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm born and raised in Dublin, my first half of my life before I got married and moved. But it has just become a place where there is no pleasure in it for me. I'm really sorry for people trying to run businesses and shops, because people who want to go up there and spend some money, a lot of people I know, do not go up anymore. And the situation about feeding people, which is getting back to the point, get back to the point about feeding people on O'Connell Street and feeding people on Grafton Street, it is totally unnecessary. After all, the monk who runs the Capuchin Centre isn't handing out his hampers on O'Connell Street at Christmas time, or isn't feeding people down there during the summertime and the place is busy with tourists. There are plenty of places dotted throughout the city and facilities, Lord knows, for people to go if they're hungry and get a sandwich or whatever. But I just think this whole thing is shoved into people's faces all the time. I think there's an agenda here. Not by the homeless people or not by the vagrant population. They're just rocking up to get fed and what have you. But there's definitely a political agenda here to try and say, oh, the government are terrible and everybody's out on the street and there's thousands of people living on the street and this is all the government's fault. Now, I'm not a government person, I'm not a political person, but I just think the whole thing has got out of control. It's completely out of control. There is absolutely no other country that you go to, a country in Europe, a European capital, like we are, a good European capital, that you see that sort of thing going on the street. I mean, also
Joe,
the other
can
thing
I
want
come
to...
In? Joe.
Yes,
I have to
go on ahead.
But Joe, I just want to say, for me, it's not about any of that. I just see people on the street and I think it's so, so sad. There's a crisis going on in the country and it could be any of us. And when I'm teaching in school and we're looking at the pictures of the tenements and the famine, it all connects up for me. And I just see it as being extremely sad. We all have a role to play. People keep voting in that government. And I just think that we all have some part to play in this. And I just feel that it's beyond politics. Uh-huh. It's beyond everything else. It's about people trying to function. We all live here together. And there's people sitting on the street with, as I saw last week, no shoes in their feet. Now, that's
well,
me,
the,
is just
I,
so
there's
sad.
No way. I have listen, to go, there is no way that anybody should be out without shoes on their feet. There are so many clothes banks and things for people. That was a guy who lost his shoes. Probably the unfortunate man was out of his head on some substance and he lost his shoes somewhere. You know, I mean, that is the situation here. We're not comparing like, or we're not being fair. And, you know, it's what that woman said there is exactly what I'm talking about. Irish people have never got over the famine. They need to get over the famine. It was a long time ago, and we have moved on from the famine. But Irish people, the psyche of them is the famine, the famine, the famine, and it was terrible, and greedy landlords, and we all got thrown off the land, and all this sort of thing. And this is why the politicians and these people with an agenda play into the psyche of Irish people. Irish people are the most generous, charitable, hospitable people on the planet. That was displayed in all its glory by Bob Geldof when it came to raising money for Africa. We stand as the most tolerant, generous, kindest nation on the planet, but we are now getting abused for that. We are totally getting abused by that, and the silent majority, that's what I am. I am the silent majority here. And that man who got, you know, phoned in and said, oh, you're wrong. This should be on display on the main street. It should absolutely not be on display on the main street. There's more than enough shelters and accommodation where you say, go to such a place between 11:30 and 2 and you'll get your sandwich and your bottle of water and your drink, instead of shoving this out onto our two main thoroughfares. It's an absolute outrage.
But Paula, you believe your theory is that this is a political decision by who? to
It's people who want to obviously move political thinking and get a reaction from politicians. And there's nothing wrong with that, Joe. That's what a democracy is. You know, I don't need to explain that to you. Oh. It's getting you know, something that the politicians cannot ignore. Right? And this is what this is about. And putting people on the main thoroughfare in the middle of the tourist season, and Lord knows the tourist season is very short in this country, etc., etc. And forget about the tourists. I'm not a tourist. I'm a native. I live here and I don't go up there. I wouldn't dream of going up to Dublin for that reason. I don't want to strut up O'Connell Street with my shopping bag and look at people with no shoes on their feet. It's so much more of a problem than people being put out of their houses or people being homeless.
Can I just come in? Hold on. You just don't want to see. If that girl just doesn't want to see the truth and realities of life in Dublin today. That's her problem.
I want to explain something to you. I went to school in Crumlin. I was the youngest of 10 children under 11. My mother packed me a lunch every day and another lunch for what was euphemistically referred to as the poor girl who sat beside me in school, because she had nobody. So the people who looked after those children, because they had nothing, were people like my mother, who packed probably 50 lunches every day, because she certainly packed two for me and one was for the girl who sat beside me. Very poor. The nuns, the clergy, they got a terrible battering here because of, you know, things that happened. There was no getting away from that. But unfortunately, what people forgot was the huge amount of good work that they did. And I was reared in a time, 60s, 70s, and people, in my area, there was no social welfare. There was no social welfare. So if you wonder whether your parents didn't work, the children had nothing. But there weren't people sitting around on the street or hanging out. The thing, you know, the clergy in the main, nuns in particular, where I was from, they really looked after these children.
Yeah, but
they
Paul,
really
yeah,
did.
Yeah,
but you know,
Paul,
woman is.
So that man has no business telling me I don't want to see the face of my city. I was looking at the face of my city. I'm saying that's my personal choice. I don't want to walk up in Dublin City and see and be have people accost me for money. And the other thing is, can there be anybody? I'd like to ask you a question, just a straightforward question. Are you not receiving any social welfare at all? And if not, why not? That's my question to you. That man. Hello?
Kieran, yeah.
Kieran, are you in receipt of any social welfare whatsoever? And if you're not, why are you not?
I don't know. Ask the government that, my dear.
Sorry, do you receive any social welfare whatsoever?
So the answer is you do.
So why are people, the government is already providing a small stipend for you or whatever. So you get no social welfare. Are you telling me you get no social welfare? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, but you referred back a while ago that you did have a rent allowance at one stage.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what play back the conversation.
No, I think
you're
hearing
said.
What you want to hear, young lady.
No, I'm not. Don't. You said you had a house and you had a rent allowance, but that's gone, and you don't want to share with anybody
else in the hostel.
You did. You said, I don't want to live in a hostel where I might, you know, have to be afraid I'd end up dead or something like that. I mean, you have to understand that the rest of the country, other than the people that are handing out the sandwiches, have a large pain in their face listening to this. Absolute pain in their face. And we are all working hard, paying taxes, doing all that, and yet we get no consideration at all. Zilch consideration. The man standing in a shop and his staff getting racially abused
for that, absolutely.
You know? But he's getting no consideration. Nobody's running up to him in his shop and saying, we're going to get the police around and make sure
Paul,
somebody walks by your shop.
Let Kieran respond if he wishes,
go
and then
on,
I'll
Kieran.
Bring Tony.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with people getting racial abuse either. But what I'm saying is, and what the issue is, that people should be allowed to be fed and it shouldn't be hidden out of sight.
Okay.
If the government aren't paying attention, well, what do? You have to cry from the roof.
Well, you see, that's exactly what I said.
Okay, Paula, let the Kieran respond.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, though.
Okay,
it's to show the government. Yeah, that's it. It's not about feeding them that can be fed anywhere. It's to make a point to the government.
You want to give people their little water and little sandwich. What's that like?
What do you get under the canopy? What do you get under the canopy of the GPO?
You get a hot meal.
Yeah, well, that can be... People have those stovey things. They come out. I just think the whole thing has got completely out of control.
And it's one of the only places in Dublin City that is actually dry when it's raining. Under the canopy
of the
GPO.
Oh, for goodness sake. Are you telling me that there aren't the places where the, as I say, up at the Confucian Centre where that monk is and gives out the hampers and all that? Can people not congregate up there? I mean, the whole thing is just exactly what you said. You said there, the politicians have to see what's happening. And that's what this is about.
Okay, stay there, Paula. Okay, stay there, Paula. Let me bring Glenda Harrington in. Glenda, your point, please, Glenda.
How are you doing? Hiya, Paula. How are you?
Nice to go, Joe.
Good.
Thanks, Kieran. You mind yourself, Kieran.
Thanks, Kieran.
Okay.
My point, I actually run a soup run. I'm one of those people that hand out soup and a bottle of water two nights a week at the Bank of Ireland.
Okay.
Why should we be hidden away?
That's not what we're talking about here. I'll tell you why. Okay, I'm going to answer that question.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you exactly why, because that's why I phoned in. Because it's upsetting to the rest of us and intimidating, not the homeless people per se, but you heard that shopkeeper there saying that it attracts a different type of people around the place. So, so the whole city now, it'll come to a stage... probably long after we're gone, that the city, no one will go up to the city. It'll just be full of the homeless people, people down on their luck, because there's no shops going to stay in business when they cannot attract people who spend money. I mean, have you no sympathy for that shopkeeper man on O'Connell Street whose business is very badly affected by this? And he is
Let Glenda reply. Go ahead, Glenda.
Okay, thanks, Will and Joe. I actually would have a certain amount of sympathy for that man. I would, of course. But you actually state that why can they not go to Brother Luke's? Brother Luke's closes.
Let Glenda finish.
Sorry, Paula, I think you've had your say now. Can I have my say for somebody that's on the ground and is working and sees exactly what goes on? I feed mothers and children from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. After 9 o'clock, the rough sleepers and the other people will be fed. I'm needed. Whether that shopkeeper is upset, I'm sorry that he's upset, but the people on the street are a little bit more upset than he is.
You're missing the entire
I'm
point of this.
Absolutely not missing the point.
Without
hang on a second.
Businesses
you
running
had
in
your
Dublin.
Say. Hang on. You had
Glenda,
your
I'll,
running.
Glenda, I'll decide who's had their say. Go ahead, Glenda.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Paula.
No, go ahead. No, Glenda, I'm letting you go ahead, Glenda.
Thanks very much. Okay. Of course, I have sympathy for the shopkeeper, but a lot of the super runs open. I personally, from 8 to 11, most of the super runs are the same. So a lot of the businesses would be shut. Where I start... all the businesses are closed. Where the GPO, Hope of the Darkness, all the businesses are closed. I know mobile homeless runs are the same. All the businesses are shut. We make sure we clean up after us and we leave. We're gone by 11 o'clock.
You're gone at 11 o'clock in the morning?
No, nighttime.
In the evening.
Who was hanging around at what time under the GPO then? I thought that was a lunchtime thing.
Absolutely
it
not. Absolutely
so
not.
So you're telling me that that doesn't happen during the day?
Oh, I'm sure there's people hanging around at the public street.
Yeah,
but not around the soup run.
Listen, you're a nice woman, and I know you're very charitable, and I know plenty of people involved in homeless charities myself. I know there was a very large amount given by the government this year to Peter McFerry, and rightly so. No thing about that. But is it really, really necessary to have this on display
I went out last night. I fed 300 people last night. So do you feel that it was necessary if those people came with their children, got dinner, is that necessary?
Yeah. That's what fine. It is. Not in the middle of the day in O'Connell Street or Gladstone Street.
We
not
are
in the middle of the day in O'Connell Street. Can I just ask, are the people in the hostels, now, correct me if I'm wrong here, the hostels don't do food, is that it? Hostels don't do food.
Some of them do, some of them do.
Some of them would do, but most
of them
do.
Why aren't people being fed in their hostel that they're in for the night and given, you get a packed lunch and then come back in the evening and you get a meal there?
Packed lunch?
That's just a suggestion. Yeah, a sandwich and a bottle of water.
Can I answer the question? No problem at all. People access the free phone. That means they ring the free phone at 10:30. They may or may not be lucky enough to secure a bed. They will go into their bed. They'll get a sandwich and a bottle of water when they come in. The next morning at 8 or 9 o'clock, they're out again on the street. They can bring a sandwich with them.
Well, if there's no breakfast facility, they're not getting a breakfast before they go out.
They can
don't the people who go and deliver out the food onto the street say, well, we're going to come to that hostel
I'll explain why. Because we're not government funded. We are totally reliant on donations. We're volunteers. I actually work full time. So why would I go to a hostel in the morning and give them breakfast? That's not my job.
Okay,
that's
take
the
that
job
point.
Of the government.
I'm not shutting you down. Okay, I'm asking you, why have you a kind of an issue with going to a hostel in the morning to feed people? Are they not the same people that you're feeding anyway?
Absolutely they are. But the hostels are government funded. The hostels are placing the people's work. So what would I do? Set up my table outside and catch them on the way out with their breakfast?
Yeah, why not? You set up your table outside the GPO. Can you not set up your table outside a hostel?
No, I work, as I said, I work full time. And I set up at night when there's no businesses open.
Yeah, well, then you're not the right person to argue this.
Maybe it's more nuanced, Paula, than you think. Paula, by the way, none of us have any right as citizens to be not to be exposed to discomfort. We've a right not to be intimidated, not to be assaulted.
Completely understand that.
But there
and
are things we see.
I have free will, and if I don't want to go up to Dublin, well,
you've
I feel
decided
like I
that.
Don't go.
You've decided. Okay, stay there. Stay there. Back after this. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rt.ie. Tony, for listeners, Paula's thesis is that the homeless charities...
Absolute drivel.
I just want to remind listeners, John, homeless charities who operate out under the canopy of the GPO and Bank of Ireland every night are doing it deliberately to try and embarrass the government, whereas they could do it nearby without bringing it so much attention to it. Go ahead, Tony, your point, please.
Well, one of the first things is that Lady Glenda and Fair Play to her, thanks very much for her service, but one of the first things that she said was she works full time. And yes, the other one, just Paul, is that her name? Just politely prolongs over. But can you not go to the hostel in the morning? No, because she works full time. So therefore, the argument that you have in the first place that people who work are sick of this is non-existent. That's first of all. Second of all, the priest and the nun should look after everything and everything like that. We all know what happens. People don't trust them. That's the end of that. Do you know what I mean? And to turn around 1.2 miles about it being in the middle of the street, it's because that's what's going on. That's life. That's life in Dublin now. That's not just something that you just put out to the side. Now, she said she moved out of Dublin. So would it be okay if they all set up around the corner from her house outside, out of the capital? No. Why? Because she's one of them, not in my backyard. And as well as that,
hold on a minute.
You turned around and you said that every single sentence that you said or anything that you were saying was, I don't mean the homeless, I don't mean, because that's a national crisis. But this is not.
Hold on a minute. First of all, you're wrong on several counts. I'm sure there's more than that woman looking after people and giving them dinners.
Because you replied.
There's a lot more people than that lady who works full time. The people, for instance, who are around during the day, can they not set up outside the hostels? The second thing is about me moving out of Dublin and all that, and now I don't want people in my backyard. Dublin is my city. Dublin will always be my city. But it's a city now I choose not to go up to.
Because absolutely, you can't go up and down it without somebody. And the, my other point is, we live in a welfare state here. The welfare in this state is incredibly generous, as discussed for years, going back years. And I, that man,
so you have a problem
that
with
I was
welfare.
Talking to, refused to answer the question, was he getting a social welfare payment? And if people are getting a good social welfare payment, why are there 300 people queuing up for food? I don't get it. I don't get it. Somebody needs
exactly
to be looking at this.
You don't get it. You don't see what it's like for people to turn around and not have two pennies to rub at the end of the week trying to rent a place.
No, hold on. They get rent. There's rent allowance available as well.
Rent allowance for who? People that fall into the category.
Woefully inadequate, as it turns out, in the light of things,
right? Inadequate. So how do you make it up?
But the point is, it's there.
How do you make it up if it's inadequate?
Listen, we're getting completely off the point.
No. How do you make amends if something is inadequate? What's your provision for that?
Well, I would think that if somebody has a rent allowance of whatever it is, this is getting off the point, by the way,
people haven't got the money to feed themselves.
Yeah, if people have a rent allowance of about a grand and the place to rent is 2 grand...
What world are you living in?
I want to tell you, I know firsthand the sort of rent allowance people have had. And if they have that and the rent now, you wouldn't get on to rent in Dublin for a grand. We all know that at the moment. So people will have to get together and live in shared accommodation. They won't do that.
Then I'll tell you what, all those people that you hear outside the GPO, we'll send them down to you and you can turn around and you can home maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, well, why don't all the people queuing up handing them sandwiches bring one each home with them? And then we'll have the population.
There you go, Joe.
Ruth Murphy, you're listening. Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, I'm just listening. I use a wheelchair, so you know, all the time, and I'm in the city centre all the time, and I'm on the Lewis's all the time, and I am accosted all the time, but I don't mean accosted like it's no problem at all. I don't know whether they're drug addicts or homeless people or whatever. They absolutely do me no harm. My purse is always sticking out of my bag and people are always saying to put it away. Nothing ever happens to me. It is hard seeing them and they look badly, but that's just our life. And if nobody's there because they want to be, I think, you know, it's a horrible life. It looks horrible. And I don't think anybody who had everything right in their life and got every chance really is there out of choice. And I think they're often have mental illness, or their lives are very chaotic. And I do agree that services are very good and the money that the state gives them, but sometimes they just can't get around to organising themselves, you know. And I don't think it's any harm at all for us to see it, because that's our life. I mean, if Hogarth hasn't, you know, shown those pictures of us of life in the past, we wouldn't have known how difficult
gin soaked London.
It's no point in having this.
But Ruth, as you say, you're in a wheelchair. You say, I never feel afraid or threatened. You should never feel afraid or threatened.
Exactly. But everybody else keeps telling me I should.
Well, why? I don't... Okay. Christine, your point, please, before the break. Christine.
Yeah, my point was, Joe, that man made a statement that he wants to make Dublin beautiful, okay? Yeah. For the tourists that come into this city that don't even pay a tourist tax. I want to make Dublin beautiful for Dubliners. I'm a Dubliner, born and raised. Pay me taxes, go to work. Those people, homeless people, should be fed in their own city. It's a living disgrace. It's a reflection, a poor reflection on the state and the attitude of its people. So it is. Those people, if they buy as much as a bottle of water with the mere pittance that they have, they're paying tax on that water. So they contribute to this state indirectly.
Yeah.
So I don't appreciate people pushing down to the side. No, sorry,
I have to go.
I'm sick of listening to you.
Yeah,
well,
I can tell you one thing. Dublin is destroyed. That's all I
know. I know it is. And it's
not necessary.
Yes, it's been destroyed by
government
after government.
So it has.
Government after government, to lack of funding, lack of adequate services.
There's no argument there.
So why do you want to punish the people for it?
They were right beside in their own the city.
They are not punishing them.
How dare you? I have not said about punishing the people. And I guess you are.
Christine, please.
It's all about getting the government to sit up and take notice. And that's
no, it's not. It's about doing the right thing, Paula.
Go back to work.
Okay, Paula.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye. Thank you, Joe. Bye.
Back after this break. Thanks, Christine.